Hi, Rachel.
Learn on trust.
Lean on
trust in and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not
rely
on your own insight or understanding. Proverbs 3:5.
Amplified.
Yeah.
You say go to class.
Kids, you may go to your classes.
Thank you, Rachel. You're going into second grade? Yeah, awesome. Good job. I am hoping to get to second grade next year. It's the addition that's just really keeping me back. So I just want to thank Rachel for sharing that. I want to thank you guys for being here. Thanks for our worship team. This series has been a lot of fun. I know we just started last week, but I'm really looking forward to today and through the rest of this series. As we just dive into some of these songs that we sing regularly, today we're going to look at King of My Heart, which we just sang a little bit ago. And then each week you're going to have the opportunity to hear from our four worship leaders. We're so blessed. I said this last week, but I'm just going to say it again. We're so blessed to have four worship leaders who not only are incredibly musically gifted, but their hearts of worship come through as they lead us. There's spiritual depth in their lives. And they just lead us so well each and every week. And I'm just so thankful for each of them and excited over these next couple weeks for you to be able to hear from their hearts and how they wrestle with these songs and the scriptures throughout these morning. So as we get started here, I was just reflecting this week on just how powerful our times of worship, of gathered worship are. I mean, there's just something incredible about coming together and being able to sing and declare these truths about God, and not just doing it, like I can sing in my car, and I do, and I sound awesome, I sound a lot worse here, there's something about my car, it just reverbs really nicely, but I can sing there, but there's something just really significant about me coming together, and us coming together as one body, to sing the words together, there's just a unity that happens as we do that, that's incredibly powerful, that we can't get anywhere else. And something that really struck me this morning, as we were doing that song, King of My Heart, you know, Cheryl was leading us. It came a point where she was emotional. I'm sorry to point that out. But what was really cool was how Michelle was able to step in and sing. And there's oftentimes in these words and these songs that maybe you don't feel like you can sing on your own in that moment. But as a body, collectively, we can almost sing this truth for one another and help each other believe it. And that's what's so powerful about the opportunity for us to gather together and to come in this school auditorium and sing praises. And so, yes, we can sing these songs throughout the week, and we should. There's something really significant about doing that together as one body. So this morning, we're going to look at that song, King of My Heart. And the progression of the song is really cool. The verses almost set up this powerful declaration that we make about you are good. And so these verses almost, they essentially are reminding us of who God is and who, what he's, all the things that he's done for us. And I know, and we talked about this earlier, sometimes the lyrics of this song can be difficult. If you've walked through just a really tough week or through a tragedy or whatever that may be, and there's been times where we've come to this song and it's like, I'm not sure I'm really feeling that right now today. And it's like, how do I sing this song? How do I sing these words? Well, maybe in the moment, I'm kind of struggling to really feel and know it. So I just want to share a quick story. I don't like to stand up here and talk about my heroics and brave deeds that I've done, but sometimes I'm just forced to do so. And this is one of those days. So a couple weeks ago, I went out to lunch, which is something I like to do quite often, most days, usually. And so I went out to lunch, and at the restaurant had a menu, as they tend to do. And the person I was with, we were looking through the menu. And on the menu, there's burgers, there's sandwiches, there's things with gluten and cheese and processed meats and things that are fried and things that sound delicious and wonderful to the soul and body. Not body, soul. Anyways, so I'm looking through this menu, and the person I'm with, he's kind of focused on that section of the menu. But I'd recently discovered in my life, as I've crossed the threshold over to 40, that when I overeat at lunch, I get really tired, and my productivity post-lunch just plummets. And because what happens is usually because I'm in some kind of post-lunch coma, and I'm like sitting in the corner just rubbing my belly like an overweight cat, just purring. And it's like really weird. And people walk in like, what are you doing? It's like, I had fried chicken. And they're like, oh, that makes sense. But I'll be doing this. And then the other thing that I've learned, so I've discovered that in my life as I get older, I can't kind of handle the heavy foods. And then I also recently learned, a couple weeks ago, somebody from our congregation shared with me that there's this thing called the pastor bod, right? So it's kind of like the dad bod, but squishier and a little rounder. So I'm kind of dealing with this, and so I'm here at the restaurant and looking at all these delicious options, and the person I'm with, like I said, they ordered this incredible sandwich that sounded so good. But now, I don't want you to applaud, I don't want you to clap, you don't need to tweet about it. If you like to, though, that is fine. But I put my big boy brave pants on, perhaps like a peach shirt, and I ordered, in my bravery, a salad. And you know what? An hour later, I was starving. No, I'm just kidding. What happened was, after that lunch, I was actually productive, and I knew that would be true throughout the whole time we were ordering. As we sat down to lunch, going into lunch, I remember telling myself, I need to order salad, I need to order salad, I need to order salad. I knew that, but in the moment, as I was beginning to look at the menu, I didn't feel the salad at all, and I wanted something else. And that Baconator blast, like this explosion of bacon, it sounded so good to me, but I knew I needed to choose the salad because I knew that's what was best. I knew that was going to be what was true to help me be more productive in the afternoon. And so I was just thinking about this, how time and time again, there's things in life where maybe in the moment we don't really want to believe or want to go a different route, but we know that there's something else that's true, that's something that's better. And I think in a lot of ways this song helps me remind myself of that, of just who God is. And then maybe there's mornings or moments where it's like, you know what? I'm not quite sure, but this song helps me to know this is what's true. This is what's right. God, you are good. You are good. You will never let me down. I see those promises, and I begin to reflect back on my life and see how God has met me in all these different places and how his love and his grace has intersected with my life, and I can be reminded of that, and I can sing it even if in the moment or that week it's difficult. So I'm going to invite Carla up. She's going to start talking about this first verse of the song, and I'll talk about the second, and then she'll finish it up. So this is Carla Apple.
Good morning. Wow, this is out of my comfort zone, but here goes. I considered bringing the keyboard down here and standing behind it. Thought that might be sort of weird, or even better yet, singing my sermon. That's really weird. All right, let's get started. I'm just going to pray quick. God, thank you. Such a powerful time of worship. You're so good. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. God, that you have good plans for us. God, I invite you to come and move this morning. Would you meet with us? Would you open our eyes, open our ears? God, peel back the layers of our heart that need peeled back. We love you. Amen. So I'm excited this morning. Is that me? Keep going. I'm excited this morning to share with you guys about how we connect with God through worship and how we use the medium of music to help create this space for you to connect with God. I don't know about you, but when I hear a sweet guitar solo, I mean, that just like gets me right there, you know, or some really sweet harmonies. Ooh, love that. Gathered worship is what happens when we all come together and we respond to God through poetic lyrics and through powerful music. And, hold on, sorry, I lost my place. Okay. I just consider it a privilege and a joy to lead worship. I know I speak for the other worship leaders as well. We don't take that lightly. We're committed to it. We pray, you know, through our songs each week, and we just really enjoy it. I've always loved music, whether that's upbeat music and celebratory to the more quiet and intimate stuff. I've just found that for me, that's the easiest way for me to connect with God and to express myself to him. It's just, worship is life-giving for me, and I hope for you, and just really awakens me to his presence. So this morning I'm going to be looking at the song King of My Heart, which was written by John Mark and Sarah McMillan. And I'll be honest, the first time I heard this song, I didn't love it. I thought it was maybe a little bit boring. I thought the chorus was too repetitive. The bridge was too repetitive. I mean, like, really? We're just going to sing You Are Good over and over and over? But I really began over time to love this song. And, you know, the more I listened to it, it grew on me. And I began to love this song just for the simple reason that oftentimes in my own life, there are times when my heart and my mind just aren't in alignment for different reasons. And I know things to be true of God and his love for me, but I just can't get there. And so this song over time has really become a powerful reminder of God's goodness, even when I'm struggling to know the truth about who God is and to believe the truth and then embrace it for myself. So I want to begin to break the song down a little bit and really look at the lyrics. So let's just start with the first line, "Let the King of my heart." What is the first thing you think of when someone is the king of your heart? Maybe you think back to your first crush. Hopefully not, because that's not good. I'm thinking words like all-consuming, preoccupied by, keeping God at the center, aligning myself with him, king of my heart. I love that the song starts out with this simple yet powerful acknowledgement. That my heart's desire is to have you at the center of my life, that my life choices, my thoughts, and my actions would just be an overflow of my relationship with him. When we put God at the center and make him a priority in our lives, things around us are redefined. I believe the way that we connect with our spouse, the way we treat our neighbor, the way we see those around us, how we experience joy and sorrow, our ambitions, our hopes, and our dreams. It's all changed. And when we make the choice to really allow God to be the king of our hearts, he will naturally become your constant companion. This line, again, in the song really is the foundation, and I really believe it all starts with this line, you know, just a desire to know God intimately. And to live from an overflow of our relationship with him. So moving on in the song. So the next line, so it's, "Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run and the fountain I drink from." And before we dive into this a little further, I just want to point out that there's a pattern in these verses where there's two characteristics of God paired together. And the first characteristic is apparent and immediately recognizable. And the second one is followed by a much deeper, intimate side of God that really is found in our response to him. And so if we look at mountain where I run and the fountain I drink from, have you ever gone for a hike? Think like Grand Tetons, not like White Rock Acres or anything like that. On your way as you're approaching, what are some thoughts, maybe observations that you have as you're getting closer to that mountain? Maybe it's just totally awe-inspiring, vast landmarks. The mountain looks strong and stable, unshakable and safe. And you can just stop there and just observe from afar. But then you have to think back, why did I even want to go on this hike to begin with? Because there's so much more. You want to explore and you want to go deeper on your hike. Maybe you'll experience some new animals that you've never seen before. Maybe you'll see some new plants or some new flowers. Maybe you'll reach a new overlook and you'll have some new perspectives that you never thought about and see things in a different way. Perhaps you'll find a waterfall or a stream and you follow it up the mountainside to a spring and you might even taste the water and it just tastes so good and so pure and so refreshing. In a similar way, God is like this mountain where we run. When we see him for who he really is, he is awe-inspiring. We see his beauty and his strength, his unshakable nature. He is big and powerful. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." But it doesn't stop there, and that's the awesome part. We don't just sit back and take it all in, but we get to explore and engage. And we don't just take God for face value, but we really see his truth and believe and engage. God, and this is where God is inviting us all into a deeper, like another level of relationship with him. into knowing him better and more intimately. And we'll begin to see things differently, or see things perhaps like we haven't seen them before. We might see some new viewpoints or new perspectives, and we'll begin to experience the living fountain that he really is. You know, and all of that comes through the daily discipline of just spending time with him and being in his presence and reading his word, quieting our hearts before him. So again, as we talked about this pattern, the mountain and the fountain, with the first characteristic being more recognizable and then the second one being more intimate, our response is in the fountain. He's life-giving, never-ending nourishment. So let's look at the next line. Be the shadow where I hide and the ransom for my life. Again, just like the mountain where I run and the fountain I drink from, there are two characteristics playing off each other. The shadow where I hide. God absolutely wants to be our safe place. He's our protector, our comforter, a place where we can run and hide. And oftentimes we run to him to avoid things that weigh us down and that we're scared of. Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. But just like before, with the mountain and the fountain, God doesn't stop there. When we respond and choose to engage in relationship with him, he provides freedom. God gave his life as a ransom for us so that we don't have to live in bondage to these things that weigh us down. So the very things that cause you to struggle, those hard things in your life, he has freedom for you for those things. He's not just a place to run and hide. He's provided the way for us to have complete, uninhibited, true freedom and rest in him. And there's truth in him being a hiding place. But when we choose to believe and respond, he becomes so much more. And he breaks the chains, really, that give us freedom. So as we move on through the song, the next line that is often repeated is, "Oh, he is my song." And some of you may or may not relate to this lyric. Maybe it makes you feel weird to think about God being your song, or it just makes you feel a little uncomfortable, but I think of it through this lens. God being our song is the pleasure that he brings to our souls, and he creates such beauty that we can't contain it, and we need to share it. Have you ever just watched somebody, observed somebody, and thought, wow, they just seem like so peaceful, so content, they don't get their feathers ruffled very easily? You know, I really think that that's the Lord in people. You ever have a worship song just stuck in your mind and it just keeps coming back and you have no idea why? Somebody might even say, like, why do you keep singing that? That's the song of the Lord in you. He put, Psalm 40, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I really believe that God being your song will be obvious to those around you, in your workplace, at school, in your home. It will affect everything you do. It will affect your responses, your decisions, and the ways that you interact with people. All right, Chad's going to come up and do the next verse.
Yeah, before Carla comes back up and shares kind of the chorus and bridge, kind of the main part of the song, I just wanted to walk through the second verse just real quick, because there's some rather poetic lines in here, and I just want to share a little bit about what these mean for me. So here's the second verse. Let the king of my heart, Carla talked about that, be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart then be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, oh, he is my song. So I'm going to look at those four lines that she didn't talk about earlier. So the first line is this wind inside my sails. And so I love this lyric because when I think about this, it's a reminder to me of how the Lord works. It's how the Lord moves. It's the Lord that blows the wind into the sail. So in other words, I put my sail up. Like there's this partnership between me and God. There's this responsibility I have to put my sail up, but I can't force the wind, right? It is God who's the one that sends the wind. And so I can now rest in God. I can put up my sail and I can rest in God because I can trust in him. And so there's literally times where I'll pray like, God, things don't seem to be moving as fast as I want them to. Like if I was in charge of the wind, I'd be sending it a lot quicker and a lot harder and a lot faster, but it's not. And so as I pray, I'm like, God, I'm going to trust in you because it's your responsibility to send the wind, not mine. My sail is up. I'm going to try to be as ready as possible. I want to prepare myself. I want to walk in obedience. But it's you that send the wind. And so it reminds me of this verse from Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, where he says, I planted, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he nor plants, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. This is really freeing for me because it's God is the one that sends the results, not me. And of course, this line is a little poetic, so this is what it means for me. It may mean something a little different to you, and that's cool. And then the second part of this is this anchor in my waves. So in the midst of trials and storms and things like that, when everything seems to be swirling around me, when my boat seems to maybe be rocking and being kind of tossed a little bit, maybe there's some water being taken on, God is my anchor in the midst of all of those storms in life. So though there may be some swaying, so there may be some uncomfortable things, it's not going to be get beyond what I can handle. I'm not going to just get chucked out into the middle of the sea and drown because he is my anchor. He is rooting me there. And then I can find hope and trust in him because he is the anchor in the midst of any storm that I may be walking through. And we see this truth throughout Scripture. We see Jesus calming the storm with the disciples when things are coming against the boat and they're scared and they run to Jesus and he, peace, be still. This is what he does for us. In Matthew, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so this line for me, as I sing it, it begins to remind me of, you know, despite no matter what's happening around me, no matter how hard the storm is, I'm anchored in God, and I can trust him. Then the song gets like super poetic. And I'll be honest, I didn't have a clue what some of these things meant. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, John Mark McMillan, what are you doing to me, bro? And why are all the artsy people have three names? Like all the greats, John Bon Jovi, right? James Earl Jones. If you grew up in the 80s, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Some of you had a crush on him. And then if you were like me, and this man defined what I needed to be as a high school boy, that's Mark Paul Gosselaar with the greatest show ever, Saved by the Bell. But anyways, so John Mark gets into these two lines. He says, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. And I'm like, fire in my, this sounds like it hurts. Like, good grief, like, what are you talking about, John? And like, what is an echo of days? Like, what are you, can't a brother get a sports reference in his song? Like, be the home run off my bat or the swish in my jump shot. Yes, Lord, more swishes. Or for the coffee lovers, like the espresso in my macchiato. Like, that just sounds wonderful. But actually, this fire inside of my veins is actually really, really powerful. So the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture is oftentimes referenced or referred to as fire. So we see when the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 2, that there's tongues of literal fire over the disciples as the Holy Spirit comes during the time of Pentecost. And so also then in the Old Testament, we see the presence of God as fire in the burning bush when he's speaking to Moses. So fire is this symbol of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so God is literally the fire. It's like a prayer of saying, God, be that fire throughout my entire life. Like our veins go to the ends of our bodies. And so be that fire through my entire being. Everywhere that my blood flows, I pray that your fire, that you would be there. And the other thing that's neat about fire throughout Scripture is it's oftentimes referenced as a symbol of purification or renewal. So as the presence of God is literally flowing through our entire beings, he is purifying us, he is cleansing us of our sin, he is making us right again. So this line is powerful. As we ask God, be that fire in my veins, we're asking for his presence to flow through everything and to make us whole and make us right because of who he is. And then the last line is this echo of my days business. And I had to like look this up and go to a deep internet search to find this. But what I found is that a church interpreter for the deaf, this guy who interprets for the deaf in his church, asked John Mark McMillan, what does this line mean? I'm having trouble interpreting for the deaf. And he just said, what lasts beyond my life. And so for me, it's that thing that will reverberate or last, that will reflect on beyond my days, beyond my life, both now and in, when I am gone, that I want God to be the one that reverberates off my life. And this is what happens as the fire inside my veins, as I'm purified. It's God who gets the glory, not me. It's God who people are drawn to, not me. And so, God, I want you to be the one that reverberates the echo of all of my days, both now and after that, as people reflect on and see my life, they are literally drawn to you, not to me. That's what this line for me means. It's a symbol or a line of prayer of humility, that this is how I want to be remembered, not for me, but for who God is. So I'm going to have Carla come back up, and she's going to finish out the rest of this song.
So as we move on through the song, we come to the chorus, "You are good." And so we repeat, "You are good," over and over and over. The longer I live, the more I realize that I can so easily allow my love for the Lord to be conditional and based on how I'm feeling and what he is or isn't doing in my life. You know, when things are good, when my kids have been very obedient and so kind to one another, when Brandon and I are feeling super connected and we've had, you know, lots of great deep conversations, and, you know, when I'm feeling real just secure and hopeful and just, you know, in general, just positive, you know, then God, you are good. But what about when things are hard? What about when I'm over here? I'm just discouraged. I'm disappointed. I'm just irritated, which is many days out of the week. But anyway, you know, but then, you know, God, are you good? This song really is such a good reminder of God's goodness and really can be sung in every season of our lives. When we make an intentional choice to not be over here and not be over here, but really come into this place. When we come into those hard places, when we've experienced heartache or disappointment, and yet we choose to take that step of faith over to here and sing that God is good despite our circumstances and despite what is or isn't happening in our lives. And, you know, not only is your faith being strengthened, but God is using that to mold you and shape you. You'll look back on that time and remember that time and how powerful it was. And in addition to that, when we respond to God in thankfulness and gratitude, it really clears the way and awakens us to his presence. It creates a nearness to God, and suddenly it begins to sort of overshadow these things that have been weighing us down and distracting us. You know, there are going to be times in your life when you sing this song from an overflow of what he's doing in your life. And you'll just be able to very quickly just recall the awesome things that the Lord's been doing. And then there are going to be times when it takes every ounce of faith that you have to sing the words, "You are good." And that's okay. That's okay. God wants you to be honest and real. And he already knows your every thought, your every feeling. And the important thing is that we're willing to step out in faith and practice the discipline of thankfulness and trust, no matter what state our heart is in, and declaring that God's goodness is unchanging. As we move down, we come to the bridge, which is, "You're never going to let me down," repeated over and over. And the first pass through, it's sort of a, you know, "You're never going to let," and then the second time through, it's a powerful, "You're never going to let me down." And I know the bridge of this song can be a really, really hard one to sing. And there have definitely been times in my own life when I have felt let down and disappointed. And I believe God allows us to experience times of disappointment and seasons of doubting his character and his love for us. The year after I graduated from high school, my dad, who was 46 at the time, he was a truck driver for a living. He was in a car accident. I'll never forget that day. I was at home, and the hospital called, and we were told we had to go to York Hospital right away. So one day he was driving his tractor trailer. We still to this day don't know exactly what happened, but he veered off the road into an embankment and hit his head and had some pretty significant brain swelling. He ended up in the intensive care unit for about a week. And for that next week, my mom and I have two older sisters. Every day we would get up and we would go to the ICU and we would sit by his side. We would sit by his side. We would pray for God to heal him. Then we would watch the numbers on the screen. I'm a nurse, but at the time I wasn't, and so I didn't really understand what all the numbers were. But we knew the one number was a measurement of his the swelling in his brain, and so we would watch that number. And so for the next week, we would go back and forth. That we would have the worship on. At that time, the Shouts of the Lord album was really popular. So we had Darlene check in the background, belting it out. So this went on for a week. And almost a week later, we were at home in bed sleeping. It was the middle of the night, and we got the call to come to the hospital. Sorry. I haven't talked about this for a long time, so it just stirs up a lot of emotion. So we went in the middle of the night, which is, that in itself is disorienting, just to get up out of bed in the middle of the night. I went to the hospital, and, you know, it wasn't good. My dad was deteriorating. And so early that morning, I think as the sun was coming up and the worship music was on, my mom and my two older sisters and a room full of our amazing friends and family, we said goodbye to my dad. And I can still remember that day like it was yesterday. It's so vivid in my mind. I even remember some of the smells in the hospital and in his room. My dad's very sudden death was heartbreaking and painful. He was only 46. How are we supposed to live? How are three girls supposed to live without their dad, their daddy? How was my mom supposed to raise us on her own? I mean, we were older, but we went through the grieving process. And we had broken hearts for quite some time. I know I did. And if you would have asked me if I could have sang this song during that time, I would have said probably not. Did I know the truth about God for me and for my family? Sure. But I just wasn't able to believe it and embrace it. But I can honestly look back now on that time in my life and see how God carried us through. We could not have felt more loved or cared for. And as time went on, we learned what life was going to be like without our dad. We missed him, but we were doing okay. He was meeting our needs, and he felt so close and so real to me, and I'm sure my mom and my sisters would say the same thing. I'm going to invite you guys to come up. You know, walking through all of this, you know, I was just out of high school. I was just working, you know, but I eventually had a choice to make. Was I going to be bitter and angry with God for allowing my dad to die, or would I eventually begin to really lean into him and take a step of faith, believing that he had a plan for me and for my family and for my mom, that he wouldn't fail us despite the raw reality that my dad was now gone. But over time, the loss of my dad really grew and deepened my faith, as painful as it was. And it's now become part of my story. and it was super painful and heartbreaking. But looking back over the years and through this process, I can honestly say that God is truly good. He's been good through it all, and he has never left me down. And I mean that from my heart. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or your understanding." I love the visual of that leaning into the Lord, saying, "I trust you. I'm relying on you. You know what's best for me." In Psalm 91:1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." This morning, as we wrap up our time, I want to challenge you with a couple of things. I want you to be reminded first this morning of who God is. That he's good, that he wants to be the king of your heart, that he is a mountain where you can run, but he is also a fountain of life, and that he is a shadow and provides safety and protection and comfort, but he also has freedom for you. And then secondly, I want you to believe it, and not only believe these truths about God, but really believe it and live from that place. Live in that truth. And believe that God has good plans for you. And then finally, I want you to embrace it for yourself. Embrace the truth. And live from that place of really knowing that God is good. Cheryl is going to, the team's going to sing and play a song over us. And I just want you to stay at your seats. Pray, process, just let the worship music flow over you. Ask God what he might have for you today. Maybe you struggle with the mind piece of this, you know, just believing this stuff. Maybe your heart's gotten off track. You know, the song starts out, "Let the King of My Heart." Guys, that can happen so easily. We're constantly pulled in so many different directions in this life. Maybe you just need to recharge and just get back into this place of, "Okay, God, I'm sorry I was here or there, but now I'm here. His mercies are new every day. He will meet you there. Just ask him to come and meet with you." I'm going to pray, and they're going to do this song, and then we're gonna stand and sing "King of My Heart" again. Maybe you'll have some different perspectives as we sing it again. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for the gift of worship and for creating a way for us to connect so deeply and so intimately with you. Thank you that we can come to you in honesty and vulnerability and thankfulness. God, it's so easy for us to lose focus, to get off track and put things in place of you. We're constantly being pulled in different directions, and while most of those things aren't usually bad, we put things before you, and for that, we're sorry. Our heart's desire is to have you as our constant companion and to live from an overflow of our relationship with you. God, help us to make spending time with you a priority, but beyond that, really grow and explore our relationship with you and begin to discover new levels of intimacy, to allow ourselves to be nourished and renewed by you. I pray that the truth of who you are would penetrate our hearts and our minds and really take root this morning, and that we would embrace it and live from that place. And I just want to say, if you want prayer this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Chad and some of the other prayer team members will be up here. Feel free.